Welcome, everyone. This is the LaRue Show. It's Saturday, August 30th, 2008. My name is Marcia Mary Baker. I'll be the host today. And our topic concerns an update on our battle to defeat the British imperial system and dirty operations in the world right now. And in particular, we're going to be discussing things from the battlefront in the Americas, from South America, from North America, and our guests, I'm glad to say, are from each place. We have, near Washington, D.C., in the LaRouche Youth Movement, LaRouche Political Action Committee headquarters, Diana Wong. Welcome.
Hello.
And so she'll be, and she's had a chance to be speaking to Mr. LaRouche earlier today about initiatives in that are hot and heavy that are taking place already. And we're very glad to welcome from Bogota, Colombia, from South America, Maximiliano Londoño. Welcome, Max.
Hi, Marcia.
And Max has been a decades-long fighter with the LaRouche effort throughout the Americas and has breaking news developments to report from there and background. And in fact, that's kind of the perspective we're starting from today, that some people may around the world have been watching this presidential campaign convention process. The Democrats are finished. The Republicans come up a day tomorrow. They're gathering in Minnesota. But the situation is that neither of these tickets, and also what subversion has gone on behind these tickets, makes it even worse. Neither of them are facing, in fact, the crisis situation in the world. With this face down that was attempted against Russia by British networks working through Georgia, in particular some people put in place by the British operative and money bags, George Soros, we are in a very dangerous, historically dangerous situation. I mean, what's this intimidation attempt against Russia was really a kind of reverse Cuban Missile Crisis, only at a much more dangerous time in history. In fact, the financial breakdown process is quickening by the hour. People are suffering, and so the fight is to the death here on it. And I think that I don't want to steal any thunder because I want. Well, let's start this way. I was going to start with Max Londoño from Colombia, but why don't you just give us a little preview, Diana, since you were talking to LaRouche not several hours ago he's in Europe, I think, but you were in a meeting with him. He was stressing the role of the LaRouche Political Action Committee and, in particular, the LIM effort. Why don't you just give a preview of the kind of thing that you were discussing?
Well, LaRouche, he started off, he was very excited. I mean, the first thing he launched with was, we have this new capability within the movement, within LPAC, LaRouche PAC, to produce multimedia organizing material, right? Because we've been cranking out just videos after videos, both exposing, you know, things like exposing the Soros operation, going through the fraud of the education where most young people are being indoctrinated into, to historic lessons, what happened in 1932 at the Democratic Party convention then, and hyperinflation in Germany, things like that. And LaRouche has just recently, I think it was yesterday afternoon, commissioned two new projects. One of them is going to be a sequel to the recently produced 1989, Mischance of 1989, which goes through our role in intervening in the past 30 to 40 years worth of history with our economic policies. And the sequel is actually going to go into around the 89 period, where Lynn LaRouche and his wife Helga Zepp LaRouche were pushing things like the Productive Triangle, the Eurasian Land Bridge. We're going to go through that in depth. And two, We also want to produce another video on the auto collapse, bringing up the idea that we have fought nail and teeth the last 2 years, beginning 2005, with the Congress, working with the UAW, with union workers, to save the auto sector, kind of the remnants, the last of what we have in our productive economy, the productive sector. So Lynn really wants us to get out a conceptual, a historical video on that to re-recruit the layer of the population who were working with us in 2005 and 2006 to revive the auto sector.
Well, that's great, and that's in line. Let me throw in a news development here that politically is coherent with these new initiatives you're talking about, because I understand that in the wake of this ultra-controlled convention, after the campaign process was ultra-controlled in the Democratic Party by the George Soros networks. They were working through this umbrella group called Acorn and others. Mm-hmm. That there was a release August 29th, which is I think the LaRouche Political Action Committee is you know making known that it came out. It was a release from this group called PUMA, which I think is Party Unity My Butt. I'll just say it that way. And it says goodbye Howard Dean and the control networks of Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Donna Brazile and so forth and so on. But this gathering that was under this name, Public Unity My Butt, PUMA, is saying they want to concentrate and continue fighting that to regroup in the Democratic Party at the sub-presidential level, state legislators, congressmen, local officials, district, from school board to cities, local cities. But of course, what you're describing is how to conceptualize what the truth is about the economy, who's the enemy. That's what you're talking about getting out, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because these PUMA people,
yes,
18 million voices.
Okay,
we've developed a strong contact base among that genre of people, and they're very responsive to our economic ideas. They're very responsive to our political briefings on the potential of World War III. So we want to keep them fighting, even after the fraud at the convention. Right, at the Democratic Party nomination convention. We want to keep them fighting. We don't want the post, 2004 Democratic Party syndrome where everybody just got demoralized.
Right, so that's the thing on this fight, because things are in the economy getting much worse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And throw in one more thing, and then I have a question for Max. But and also the timing on things, Diana. The campuses are opening up. Have you been orienting to that, resuming getting the student strata,
yeah,
back into a fighting outlook?
Most definitely. I mean, we were the war room out here, the headquarters. Last night we just had a phone call, a conference call with all of the locals, all of the youth locals of the LaRouche Youth Movement, and most of our locals are going to be holding these things called cadre schools, where it's anything going from a weekend to 5 days worth of intellectual and political strategizing. And all of these cadre schools are going to happen before the November election.
That's terrific. Well, then let me throw in here, and Diana, you correct it, before we go to South America, and then we'll go back and forth. But people should know they can find what you're talking about on the LPAC's website, which, of course, is www.LaRouchePac.com, LaRouchePac.com. But also, people are encouraged to give resources like crazy, because there was a central duplication effort before the Democratic Party convention for this Lessons of 1932 Democratic Party convention, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was nominated, but with a big fight. 70,000 of those, I think, were duplicated by LPAC. And I understand there might be more central duplication of this critical one called Harvard Yard, after Harvard University and its control networks.
Mm-hmm.
And with these two new ones, it shows this is a whole revolution, really, in kind of video education. But the resources are the resources are the only constraint. Is that right? Not creativity.
Well, we have a load of creativity to give to people. And yes, I mean, if the video production is kind of the central organizing tool right now because of, you know, it's become an internet culture. And I like to use this term because, I mean, our material has become viral on the internet. You have you know, organizations, you know, people who are, you know, on the peripheral of the political, you know, they're analysts and whatnot. They've really taken our production, our video productions, and just taken off with it. Send it to their friends, their networks, you know, their institutional contacts. So yeah, I mean that's gonna have to be the what we organize our fundraising around is the LPAC video productions.
Right. And now that takes us on this matter, if we take off from what you said, there's one going to be done about how the effort was initiated by LaRouche Political Action Committee, LaRouche himself, in early 2005, that there should be an intervention to save the machine tool, machinery, auto sector of the United States instead of dismantling of it, which was also specifically orchestrated by creeps like Felix Rohatyn, the fascist banker that's a big enforcer in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, there are key advances on the front of the need to have this kind of capacity to build infrastructure. And that's where, if you go to Colombia, there have been some momentous things in recent months of the perspective of certain leaders and others in South America, especially also in Mexico and Central America too, for major infrastructure projects. To resume where we left off since the FDR era, Max, could you start and describe where things stand with this railroad, with agriculture, with new plans under discussion?
Well, there is an opportunity for creating a new physical political geometry, because starting on July 2nd, in the case of Colombia, there was a very military operation, a very successful, against a terrorist, against a group called FARC in Colombia. And there were 15 high-profile hostages who were kept there in the jungle in concentration camps for years, in some cases almost 10 years, 5 years. And they were liberated by the Colombian military. So it created an environment of optimism, not only in the Colombian population, but in the whole region. It's a whole process. It was not just that step as such. There were other operations against the terrorists. And in that environment, President Uribe, Álvaro Uribe, accepted the proposal of President Hugo Chavez of Venezuela of building a train between the two countries for connecting from Panama, going in the coast, in the Atlantic coast, connecting Panama, Colombia, Venezuela, and also in the southern part of the country, between the two countries. And so it started a whole process of discussions. And President Lula of Brazil came to Colombia and discussed with President Uribe the possibility of finding a way to reach the Pacific Ocean for the Brazilians. They are interested in that through the Colombian territory. It means to develop the river transportation system, the Amazonas and the Putumayo rivers. And then our proposal is to have a railroad corridor and to make a tunnel to the Andes range and have a port in Colombia in the Pacific area for Brazil. So that's the good thing that we are having in the southern flank. At the same time, in Mexico, there is a big discussion about hydraulic projects in the northern part of the country, in the Sonora state, the Pleno and Pligon. The idea is to have water better distributed to develop some areas. And we have the potential to produce food for the whole area. For example, in the case of Colombia, there is an area in the southeastern part called the Plains. Geographically, it's the same region for both Venezuela and Colombia. So in that area, we have 50 million hectares that could be used for producing food. So it means to cover our needs and also to have exportable surplus. But also in the case of Mexico, we could produce food with the Plena project. So, and if we include the Cerrado region in the Brazil, so we, in a decade, we could be basically tripling the production of food, which is something that Helga Sepp-LaRue has been calling for.
Right.
So we have good prospect for the region.
And you said this whole thing is a process, too. You had recently the completion of one kind of demonstration tunnel, thinking of piercing the Andes.
Yeah. In the in Colombia, as soon as the Andes reached the country, it split in three branches. So in the central branch of the Andes, now there is a tunnel. It's a test tunnel, but in the higher part of the range, it is only 8.5 kilometers long. It's La Línea tunnel. It's called the Line Tunnel. The original project, it was to build a tunnel at the level of the city, at the ground level. So it means to go to the other side of the range. This is small, but it's something that is part of a process. At least some projects are being discussed and implemented, because for decades we have been involved in violence and terrorism, and it appears as if it were a local characteristic or national property or feature of the country, which is not. It's something imposed from the outside. And now we have here the British angle, this whole thing, because, for example, recently a Latin American Commission on Drugs and Democracy was established in Rio de Janeiro. It was in April. It was created and funded by George Soros, the same Soros that is pushing thermonuclear war in the case of Georgia, with his backing of Saakashvili, with of his actions against Russia and against the world as such. The same George Soros created this commission in which there are 18 self-described distinguished men and women, among them three former presidents, one of Colombia, Cesar Gaviria, one of Brazil, Enrique Cardoso, and Enrique Cedillo, which was former president of Mexico, and some journalists, famous ones. What they want to do is legalize dope, basically, legalize drugs. So they're trying to show that it's not possible to win the war on drugs. And they say that it is more effective, the so-called European approach or model. So they're talking about decriminalization, legalization, provide whatever is needed to those who are addicts for their recreational purposes and so forth, instead of what they call the American approach, which is to use to try to destroy the crops and so forth. And of course, there are problems in for example, in the case of Colombia, the so-called Plan Colombia, which is a common effort, the U.S., the United States, and Colombia for destroying the production of drugs. But the idea of Soros and his people is just to show that what we need is to provide free drugs. And this is what this commission is doing right now. They are going to have a meeting in Bogota here, the capital of our country.
When is that, Max?
In a few days, in a week. So they are selecting some places which are key. Mexico City, the next meeting will be in February of the next year, the city of Mexico. Everything is going in the direction of preparing the environment for the next meeting of the United Nations organizations on drugs. They're going to evaluate the 10-year activity. In 1998, Soros and these groups were trying to change the things. They were not very successful at that time. Now they are gathering forces, and now they are trying to show that it's ineffective. It is impotent to do anything against the drugs, because the violence, because the problems with the judges, the killings, is very expensive. So better to provide free drugs for everybody, as in Aldous Huxley writings, or Russell, or A.G. Wells, 1984, or George Orwell, 1984. So they want to control our populations with drugs. This is the model of the opium wars, the British opium wars. So they are afraid of development and of peace. So they are trying to destroy this thing. And for years, they have been using, the Andes region as a backbone for this production of drugs, well, especially coca. But now there is an opportunity to change the agenda with the new developments that we are talking about. There are problems in the region. For example, the president of Bolivia, Evo Morales, he personally thinks that coca should be legalized. And that's part of the cultural operations of the British. But in general, we see that there is a good environment for great projects, for infrastructure. In the case of Argentina, for example, they are building the first bullet train of the Americas in general, high-speed train from Rosario to Buenos Aires. We are talking about these electrified trains that are being used in Europe that move at 350 kilometers per hour. And not even the United States has that kind of trains yet. So the Argentinians are ahead in this project. They're going to build another branch of these bullet trains with French technology. Brazil is a big country, so they have problems too, because they have been influenced by the British with the biofuels and so forth, and they have been involved in that activity. At the same time, they have three nuclear plants, and they are restarting a project that was stopped some years ago. Originally, the idea was to have 8 plants using the German technology. But Brazil now is trying to have a role of leadership in the area, promoting these infrastructural projects. So step by step, people are looking for something different. And as LaRouche said, this is related to the crisis, to the economic situation. People are recognizing that now the rate of the debt is bigger. It's increasing at a rate bigger than the income or the fiscal production. So it's a time of opportunity, but at the same time, we are risking and facing challenges as these reaction of the British with the opium wars that they are again promoted in the region.
Right. Max, LaRouche was emphasizing just what you attributed to him again this morning, saying Diana Hurd was in discussion with him. But there, one thing is, take the United States. We're not going to speculate, but there's a couple major banks ready to be announced that they failed. You know, you've had 9 smaller banks officially fail this year. Lynn said there's no possibility that some kind of trend line will continue of a pretense of economic and financial functioning. It's just not happening. So it is that breakpoint thing. Let me ask you one thing, Max. I understand that you went back to look at recent history, which has been, people don't usually do, that Franklin Delano Roosevelt's actual staff and emissaries came to Colombia in particular, given your important geographical bridge location between North and South America, about railroads. The Tennessee Valley Authority man. Could you say something about that?
Yeah, well, David Lilienthal, one of the directors of the Tennessee Valley Authority, came to Colombia. It was in 1954. At that time, a general was, General Rojas Pinilla, was the president of Colombia. So he asked for an advisor, and he proposed that the Cauca River Valley and the Sinú River, both those areas, develop a plan similar to or following the lines of the TVA. And there was a good environment for that. And it's interesting the way Lilienthal presented his proposal, because he said it could be a second liberation. The first one, referring to Simón Bolívar, our liberator from Spain, the commander-in-chief at that time. But he said this second liberation has to do with development, with industry, with production of food, and it was a beautiful idea. So it was a direct influence of, though he was not alive at that time, for FDR, and there was a chain in the United States, but still, the effect of the shock wave was perceived in the region. It was not just in Colombia. João Goulart, in the case of Brazil, had a similar impact from the U.S. during the period of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the Perón government in Argentina. So it's interesting that the nationalists in our countries were linked one way or another with the original American system. We are talking about the Hamiltonian policies, Kerry policies, Lincoln policies. In the case of Colombia, if we go back to, let's say, the 1886, we had a president, Rafael Núñez, which is very uniquely his case. He was liberal when he was younger, but he went to the United States during the Lincoln period, 1863, as a journalist, and he changed his view, and he recognized that he was wrong with the free trade ideas of the British and so forth. So he decided to bring those ideas of the United States to Colombia. He created a national bank in Colombia, following the idea of Hamilton in the United States for financing agriculture, manufacturing, infrastructure projects, in particular tunnels and railroads. And he was promoting the idea of having a canal. Panama at that time it was part of Colombia. So there were people in the United States and people in France, Ferdinando de Lesseps, trying to dig a canal to link the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean. But there were other factions in the United States linked to the British interests, J.P. Morgan, for example, they destroyed, in a sense, the project. They pushed the idea better to destroy the company for building the canal, the French company originally, though de Lesseps offered the shirt to the American public, but the British took over the whole thing, and they destroyed the company and they put in jail for a while to de Lesseps, and they later they built the canal with Teddy Roosevelt, but with a different policy. I mean, they cut Panama from Colombia, and they destroyed the cooperation between the countries. But the point is that if we go back into history, we will find that there is a common purpose among, there is a community of principle among our nations, in the Americas in particular, that we are talking about. And the British have been always trying to use their weapons to destroy this. But now there is an opportunity to change that, especially what LaRouche is telling about the importance of the researchers and the articles and the proposals for what the world needs is key to understand, because that's what is lacking among the governments. And you see what happened with our government in Colombia. President Uribe has been a follower of the free trade policies, and in his second term, he changed the constitution for becoming again president, and he promised to fight against the terrorists, and he has been doing it successfully, so people have been supporting his effort. But now he is confronted with history, with universal history, and he's breaking, in a sense, his own rules, because when he goes to discuss with Chavez, for example, about the trains, it was something that he opposed before. I had a discussion with him in one of the meetings, and I proposed President Uribe that he should do something like what Lincoln did, and to put together the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, and the president told me, it was 4 years ago, he said, no, that's impossible. We don't have the money for that, and we will just use the railroads, the existing railroads, which are very old, just for the purpose of exporting coal, in the cases that the foreign companies are interested in that, and we will not invest in railroads and so forth. And now the same president has changed his mind. We were in the streets organizing with the idea of having a metro, a subway for Bogota. And at the beginning, it was as if we were proposing something impossible.
Science fiction.
Yeah, science fiction. And even the president was opposed to that. But now the president is backing the idea of the metro, and a mayor who won, Samuel Moreno Rojas, which is a relative of President Rojas, the one who brought David Lilienthal to Colombia,
mm-hmm.
is the mayor of Bogota, and he's building the metro. He started the whole thing. So ideas are key, as LaRue said. Good and correct ideas, and there's room for that in the world, because in a sense, people are blind.
I'll say, well, let me, this poses two questions to Diana and the effort in the United States and elsewhere. Max, you may have more questions. But Diana, two things. One thing, the way there are critical, even if they're not numerous, but critical strategic changes, as Max just described, of people saying we must have certain infrastructure, but at the same time, dramatically, those who would oppose that are more obvious, like George Soros, who is doing things in the United States, such as he provided $400,000 for a drug decriminalization bill that's on the ballot in Massachusetts this year.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about both of those aspects? Do you think, because you've been involved in directly organizing on the streets and elsewhere, now centrally in the war room, on the impact, are more and more people picking up on differentiating the enemy, George Soros, the British pedigree? Soros is a British national, as a matter of fact. Are people picking up on that?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, the crisis is getting worse, the economic crisis. And you just have crazier and crazier proposals by people like George Soros, Felix Rowatin, these types, you know, calling for drug legalization, privatizing infrastructure, you know, slashing budgets to make up for the economic collapse they created, you know, convincing, you know, governors, legislators to go with their evil policies. Now, I can speak for the people of our organizations who are out there organizing on the street every day, and we've been getting very good reaction on the analysis, particularly on the analysis of what George Soros is doing in particularly in promoting World War III and a half, right? Whatever we want to call it now.
Yeah.
But. There's this population of people between the ages of 25 and 50. You know, the soccer moms, the second tier of the political layers in the population, who are really interested in these briefings because they're strategic. They're not single issue types. And we've actually intrigued a lot of our contacts in the population to do their own research. We've provoked them to do their own research and circulate our material within their networks. For example, in LA, we've been attending some of these meetings held by the Puma people, and after having been briefed by us on the history, the fight between the American system and the British Empire system,
yeah,
they've been doing their own research. They're reading books about fascism, right? Reading books about Hitler, and that's very inspiring, and we have to keep that up.
Right, and let me ask you, likewise, among these, in these meetings or people, just in recent weeks or months, on the kind of shift in interest and grasping of these projects that Max was describing. Mm-hmm. Does anything stand out, Diana? I mean, I know in Southern California, you have a whole limb,
oh, right,
wing of the limb that's even going to participate cross-border with Mexico.
Exactly.
So what's happening on that?
Well, they're actually putting out, I mean, they have a project laid out on the, particularly on the Plino and Pligon infrastructure development projects in Mexico, between Mexico and the United States. But that, I mean, we're going to actually be sending contingents of youth from the United States down to Mexico, hopefully down into South, further into South America in the future, to kind of integrate the organizing between the two continents, North America and South America. And I'll just say that there the population in Mexico, for example, they're very excited about the development projects. And we're gonna play the role as an organization to revive the role that we had, you know, during and pre World War II, and even in Lincoln's time, where the United States played a very specific, very important role in developing, in working with other countries, with our neighbors, north and south, to develop their capacity.
That's great. Let me throw in here, and Max or Diana, add to it if you like, but there's a terrific development in the last 76 hours in Mexico, because these projects you mentioned that are water conveyance projects from where there's lots of water high up in the Sierra Madre into where you need it, Sonora and these states, and they've been proposed since the 1960s. But anyway, the leading agriculture center of Mexico, a wonderful university called University of Chapingo, which was the home, too, after the Second World War, of this collaboration between the Minnesota-Iowa experts, Norman Borlaug and other people, and Mexico, where they were collaborating on miracle wheat, miracle corn. Anyway, University of Chapingo received a briefing by the LaRouche Youth Movement and others, leaders from Sonora and elsewhere, on having this project. And I understand that basically, in effect, as an institution, they're backing it. They want to make, because, and another leading figure, Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas, who I think is the son of the famous President Cárdenas of the FDR era, wants to back it. So it seems, I'm just saying, there's momentum. Is that right, Max?
Yeah, it's. I mean, people are willing, in a sense, are hungry of development projects, and the history of our countries is very important, because the blindness comes from ignorance and from countercultural operations. And just an example. If you see the United States, for example, in 1889, when the Pan American Conference was on, and then Secretary of State James Blaine was organizing for having a railroad for the Americas, the railroad, the Pan American Railroad, and McKinley, the McKinley government, promoted the idea. And from that period to 1923, not only was the idea, engineers from the United States, group of engineers, teams, were sent to our countries to work together with their counterparts, developing the details. And then there was a chain in 1923, and it was chosen there, the roads, instead of the railroads, and then they opposed the roads to the railroads in the 1950s, and then destroyed the railroads, even in the United States. So there has been changes, in a sense, guided by people, by interest, by financial British interest, and now we need. Oh, wait.
Miriam.
So.
Right.
Yeah, excuse me.
We can still hear you.
There was an interaction here. No, I was telling that it's important to understand world history. And only us, in a sense, the LaRouche organization, is capable of conveying these ideas. Because if you go to the colleges, universities, and so forth, you will find just lies. And the British have specialized in controlling everything, philosophy, history, culture, arts. So this idea of the American system, that the productive forces of a country should be developed, that the cognitive potential is the source of wealth, is key. And we have the space, the room for that right now with the crisis. It's clear, even in the case of Colombia, which has been, I mean, in very terrible circumstances, I personally met many people who had been killed, leaders of my country, presidential candidates, ministers, officers, police officers, military officers. They have offered their lives for a higher purpose. And for years, apparently, everything was blind, everything was dark. But there is a hope if you have an idea, a correct idea. So history is absolutely key, the history of the American system.
Did you have something else on that, Diana?
Well, I mean, I'd actually like to ask Max a question.
Please.
Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting because, I mean, one of the reason why Soros and, you know, British agents like him are promoting drug legalization, I mean, it's for population control, right? They want to prevent the development of the second and third world. And I mean, the reason why they don't want development is because development promotes national sovereignty. And that's why, you know, that's why the British Empire and Churchill, for example, during World War II, just hated FDR, because FDR was spreading optimism, was spreading the American system. And I was wondering, since you're on the ground organizing and whatnot, are people down there, are they recognizing the fight, the historical fight between the fight between the American system of national sovereignty and the counter, which are the Soros and the British agents, who are, you know, they're deploying agents and the like, and, you know, countermeasures in their own country against that, against their development?
Well, that's what I was telling, that to develop history is important. Mm-hmm. In a sense, our people in our countries in general, like the United States, because in a sense means progress, mm-hmm. or an opportunity, or the hope for something better. That's the general idea toward the United States, which is good. In a sense, it's a basic recognition of a hope. And they don't see the British Empire or as an option in that sense. So what the British are doing is using cultural operations, changing history and so forth, and also promoting in the United States a faction against the interests of the United States itself and against of our countries. And they have distorted the Monroe Doctrine. And then you have a problem with the leftist explanation of history, which is a British explanation of history. Basically, they say that the Monroe Doctrine means Americans for Americans. It means that the United States will take control of everything for themselves and for the American companies. So the original idea of the American system and the Monroe Doctrine is not recognized yet. So it's important to be organizing people to tell what's going on. But people react to programs, to projects, to infrastructure projects. So that's why it's important that an initiative can from the United States to change the whole environment. And people are, in a sense, waiting for something new. But you see, for example, everything apparently is controlled. For example, in the case of Mexico, let's say that. A couple of days ago, there was an announcement that in the UNAM, mm-hmm. Universidad, the National University of Mexico, the biggest one, that a group of scientists who have been working for 8-10 years discovered that the global warming is a fraud. They announced that they did a research, and they are now clear that is a fraud, that the weather, the changes in the weather and the climate has nothing to do with the CO2, but it has to do with the long-term cycles related to the sun astronomy and so forth. You see?
Yes, yeah.
It's clear. And it's the same with the biofuels, for example. In the case of the biofuels, if you see in the financial press, and they say, well, it's not convenient to invest in that area because now it's falling down. And the bubble, they call it bubble now, the bubble of the biofuels.
Right.
So it was because LaRouche decided to fight against that. The things are happening. So this factor of willing, the individual decision to change the history is absolutely key. Otherwise, the British are going to win if they convince people that people are not powerful enough to face the problems. So, in simple words, the British system they are afraid of development. So simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, one thing I wonder too, Max, do you feel, because you started your remarks by saying how moralizing it was, this event in July for the whole world when these hostages were released, and the Colombian military and their, you know, their associations with the U.S., this was a special event, right? And then, meantime, you find that people may also look that these has-beens, these people like the former president, Cesar Gaviria, I guess, who's on this new George Soros Drugs and Democracy Alliance. I mean, are they potentially seen as what they are, just tools of these filthy British operations more?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Al Gore is, I mean, right, Diana, there's a certain amount of the media plays it big, but there's a certain amount of disgust building, I would say. What do you think about in Colombia?
Well, in the case of Cesar Gaviria, he is right now the head of the Liberal Party.
Okay.
He was in the OAS for 2 periods. He was president in Colombia from 1990 to 1994.
Right.
And he implemented the so-called opening of the economy, the free trade radical changes, reforms. He imposed privatizations and so forth.
Tremendous exports to the U.S., flowers, food, right? Along with drugs and privatization.
Yeah. And this guy made a deal with the Medellin cartel, with Pablo Escobar, the famous killer terrorist who blew up even planes. Well, Gaviria did an arrangement with this guy and his people so that they could be in a jail for a few years, no more than 8 years, and then they will be okay. But Pablo Escobar did not stay there. He left the place And there was a change in the constitution. Gaviria created a new constitution in 1991. And the traffickers, in a sense, balked the constitution. They eliminated the extradition treaty. So Gaviria has been helping the drug interest. And now he is part of this commission created by Soros. And right now, here in Colombia, he and people linked to the Diario El Tiempo, Santos family, who have been promoting legalization for years, are attacking Uribe. They are furious. So this is a fight, absolutely. This is a fight. But there have been people who have been heroes, because they have fought in their difficult conditions, and their efforts, in a sense, serve us for giving strength and the people. We have friends, as I told you before, that were killed. For example, Coronel Ramirez was a police officer, very successful against the traffickers, and he was killed by Escobar, by Pablo Escobar. By the way, one of our books in the Spanish version of it was dedicated to him. Dope Inc. in Spanish. So, yes, there are interests from the outside who are controlling people and organizations inside of our countries. And in some cases, people don't know in our countries what's going on. For example, in the case of Colombia, some people think that there is a fight between the leftists, the guerrillas, the leftist guerrillas, and the right-wing groups, so-called paramilitaries. And apparently that's the case if you are here. But if you see the strategic situation, it was part of a deal when Bush, the father of this president, promoted this arrangement in Nicaragua for helping the Contras. And given that the Senate and the Congress decided not to finance those operations, they did it in their way, exchanging drug for weapons, and created these networks of terrorists, as they created the Al Qaeda and some other networks. And in the case of Colombia, they did the same thing. They created some right wings, which were opposed to the left-wing terrorist, and the country has been destroyed. But what you see from where that model comes, then you will find London, because that's what they did exactly in Africa, for example. In different places, they created a group, a gang, and then they created a counter-gang against that one. And then the people are asking for help from the outside. So those things are now in the possibility of being destroyed, those schemes which have been destroying our countries, if we introduce, just projects, railroad projects, river transportation projects, and that is into motion. And that's why Soros and the British Crown are so concerned.
I'll say, we only have a minute. It's hard to believe, maybe a few seconds more. And Diana, picking up on that, both the projects that Max is describing, rail and agriculture, going back even 100 years to where we left off and should have been building the Pan-American rail networks and all. Right. So we have both the projects and we have the history, the real history. And would you say more in closing then about your LaRouche Youth Movement plans on campuses, or you mentioned these cadre schools. That's what you're going to hit. And basics and real truth in science, like the Harvard Yard video.
Mm-hmm. Science and history, like what Max was talking about. I mean, a lot of the things we're producing out here, I mean, LaRouche calls them history projects.
Okay.
Because youth today, even boomers, people who've been around the past half century, you know, we don't know history. We don't know history. We don't know science. We don't know economics. That's why we're in the crisis we're in right now. So we're really moving on the campus, in the population, trying to recruit more people, particularly youth. I mean, to have them join our mobilization, to understand what they're fighting for, that there is an alternative. So.
Well, that says it, I think, and I'm sorry we have to end now, but I thank you very much, Diana Wong, from the LaRouche Youth Movement and the LaRouche Political Action Committee, and Maximiliano Londoño from Bogota, Colombia. It was, thank you very much for giving this update, and we want you to listen again September 6th. We're from 3 to 4 Eastern Time in the United States on www.larouchepub.com. This is Marcia Mary Baker signing off for August 30th, 2008, The LaRouche Show. Thank you all.
Okay.